Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yutyasva vikatajvara.
Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with mind intent on me, and without desire for gain, and free from egoism and lethargy, fight. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties, as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord, and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetasa. Nirasha means that one has to act on the order of the Master, nor should one expect intuitive results. A cashier may count millions of dollars for him and his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mayi, or unto me. Someone should take notes so that they can give a summary after. This afternoon, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 30. This world that we are living, it is a battlefield, both within and without. It is a battle between the pious and the impious, the godly and the godless, between the servants and the masters. And this battle has been going on since the beginning of creation. And factually, it will go on until the end of creation. Sometimes the godly are prominent in society, and sometimes the godless are prominent in society. But there is always this hard struggle. And factually, within our own hearts, there is our godly nature and our godless nature. our moral nature and our immoral nature, pious and impious. And within our own selves, there is a battle that is taking place. So herein, Lord Sri Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, and through Arjuna explaining to all of us, that we cannot give up this battle. We must fight. To give up the battle means to be godless. To give up this battle is to succumb to immorality. Duryodhana was irreligion personified. And he wanted to conquer the entire world and conquer the Pandavas as well. To not fight means to surrender to immorality, to surrender to godlessness, irreligion. And to be a truly spiritual person in this world, or even a moral person, one has to be prepared to fight a battle that begins within our own mind, and fight for truth within this world. Krishna tells Arjuna, one who does not fight this battle is a coward. You have to give up lethargy. Laziness is one of the great enemies of one aspiring for spiritual realization. Some people equate spirituality for laziness. They think if you become a spiritual person, a God-conscious person, then that means you just become lazy. You become effectively useless within society. You become a parasite. People who are a little God conscious, who have a little morality, but don't go too far in their self-realization, they can be good people, not hurt too many people, and they can work hard and really produce and be good citizens. But the further you go into spiritual life, the more you become a useless parasite, a lazy fool. Is this not the popular opinion? Throughout the entire world, everywhere. Just like, actually I would like to introduce you to a very dear friend. His name is Dr. Greg Emery. He's a wonderful, wonderful person, and I hope that you all, he's going to be with us for how long? If we treat him nicely, he'll be here for a long time. But he'll be with us for some time. Please welcome him and make him feel very at home. We first met him at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, when we were having a cooking class. We can tell you that story some other day. But he was so much wanting to help. He was working on his master's degree in philosophy, and he became the student, the president of our student organization, and he would organize giving lectures in practically every one of the classes of the philosophy department. He would bring all of his students, because he was a teacher too, he was acting as a professor. He would bring all of his students and all of the philosophy teachers, including the head of the philosophy department, who was an atheist. He would bring them all to the temple for prasad and for Bhagavad Gita class, the kirtan. And in his house, he would invite students, and we would have wonderful kirtan, something like we had today, huh? On a smaller scale. And organize big, big facilities, and due to his help, we had the largest vegetarian cooking class in the history of Krishna consciousness. About 200 people coming in Bryan Hall Every evening we would hold the class on a regular basis. And then he went on to get his PhD in religion at Temple University, one of the very prestigious universities in America. And then he went back to Athens and became a professor there. And now I believe he's a guest professor in a university in Japan. And he had a small break, so he wanted to come and visit us here in Bombay. So I'd like everyone to give your warm respect to Bombay. Please stand up. Hariva! I was talking about fighting. So in this battle, Duryodhana, he was doing everything within his power to conquer the world with their religion. And Krishna is telling Arjuna that you cannot be lazy if you want to fight. Greg will tell you, we used to cook for 200 people. Huh? First, our program was, every Monday we would go to Pittsburgh. We would have kirtan on the lawn of Pittsburgh University. Just two of us, myself and one other, sometimes only me. Huh? And then we'd pass out invitations, give out books, sit, talk to people, get people. People always throw things at you. That's the way America is, if you're different. And we would go to someone's house, we would cook for 75 people, then we would come, we'd have kirtan, we would have lecture, we would serve it out, we would talk to people, then we'd clean up everything. That would go till late at night. And first thing the next morning, we would go to Columbus, Ohio. We would do the same thing. We'd meet people on the campus lawn, we'd invite them, we'd have little kirtan bhajan on the ground. We'd pass out invitations, we'd pass out little prasad, we'd give some books to people, we'd discuss things with people. Then we'd go to a little tiny kitchen in a basement and we'd cook for 100 people. And then in the evening, so many people would come and we would have kirtan, and then we would have lecture, then we would serve the prasad, then we would clean everything up. We would just rent little halls. We didn't have any temples in those days. You remember? You came to Columbus sometime? Usually 40, 50 people average would come at least. And then I would sleep in my car and then go to Athens, Ohio the next morning. We'd chant on the lawn and we'd go somewhere, we'd cook. 200 people would come. We'd have a vegetarian cooking class and teach everyone how to cook. Then we would serve out prasad. Then we would go to Greg's house and we would have kirtan and lecture. By that time it was midnight, everything cleaned up. The next morning we went to West Virginia University in Morgantown, West Virginia. We did this 6 days a week. And on Sunday we would have a Sunday feast somewhere in Meadville, Pennsylvania. Did you ever go there with? Way upstate Pennsylvania. So every place is about 2, 3, 4 hours drive between. And Greg will tell you, the typical comment when I was walking through the campus or even through the streets of Athens, Ohio, was, why don't you get a job? Do something useful. Huh? People have this idea that if you're spiritual, that means you're just a lazy fool. Sometimes they're right, but not always. But actually, to be really spiritual, not to just take the robe or take advantage of the situation to be lazy, to be actually in the path of Bhagavad Gita, you have to really fight and work hard in whatever you're doing. If we become lazy for a moment, we lose the battle. what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita is perpetual determination. Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahusha kahinantascha budhayo vyavashayana. Krishna says that those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. Give up your lethargy, Arjuna. Fight. That means all of the temptations that come into our mind, we have to fight against them. But you cannot fight properly unless you are armed. Krishna says in the Gita, with the weapon, with the sword of knowledge, you have to cut through the knot of ignorance. Just like this battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna just didn't go into the fight. He was trained for years and years and years by the greatest teacher, Dronacharya, and he had the best weapons. So when we go into the world every day, we have to be well trained and well armed if we want to defend the truth and the religious principles of our life. What does that mean? That means associating with saintly people. Just like Arjuna, by the association of Drona, he became the greatest fighter. That was his military guru. By hearing from the spiritual master, by associating with true, gentle devotees of the Lord, who really are striving for self-realization in this world, and by hearing submissively from them, we are able to discriminate. We have knowledge. But even with that knowledge, we need weapons to defend ourselves. And what is the great weapon? The weapon of a pure heart, which comes through sadhana, through spiritual practice. By regularly, every morning, chanting the holy name, not whimsically, but with a vow, attentively, with concentration. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By hearing from the scripture, by coming to the Bhagavatam class, by offering prayers and puja to the Lord, we become armed with God and Guru's mercy. And then we can go into this world and we can fight for truth against the forces of illusion. We can fight for Krishna. And Krishna explains, anyone who simply remembers me and follows this formula is guaranteed by his own vow that we will be victorious. What was Arjuna's strength? Even with his mighty Gandiva bow, and even with all the help of his guru's training, Dronacharya, he had no chance of winning the war. Ragadvesha vimuktais tu vishayanandriyais charan atma vishayavidhe atma prasadamari gachati. Krishna tells Arjuna that you can conquer the senses, the mind, and all the illusions of this world only by my mercy. When we regularly chant God's name, when we regularly hear his divine words, when we live a pure life and strive for that, when we associate intimately with his devotees, we are armed with Krishna's mercy, kripa, and there is no power greater than that of God. And if Krishna is on our side, we can never fall down. If Krishna is on our side, we could really be empowered, whoever we are, to do great things for this world. It is just the question of receiving. If you have a PhD, that's wonderful, but you cannot change a person's heart with a PhD. But if you're empowered by God with that PhD, you can utilize every bit of your information, every bit of your knowledge for the highest good of humanity. but factually, even if you're illiterate, if God empowers you, you can do anything. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangum langayati girim yatri vatam aham bandem sri gurum dinatharanam. If one is empowered by the mercy of Sri Gurudev, even if he is a layman, he can cross mountains. Even if he is a dumb man, he could speak eloquent poetry. And even if he is a blind man, he can see the farthest stars in the sky. That is our faith. And that is faith in the realizations of so many great saintly persons of all great religions. Lord Jesus Christ said, if you have so much faith the size of a tiny mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to move into the ocean and it will move. This is the universal principle of all religions of the world. To have faith that whoever we are, whatever we are, if we simply accept the mercy of the Lord by following His teachings, by associating with His devotees, by serving His mission, and by chanting His holy name, the shield of God's love, will protect us from all opposition, from within and without. Krishna explains here, two great enemies within ourselves that we have to fight against in order to fight the world of illusion. One is lethargy, laziness, and the second is egoism. Because even if you become a great saintly person, if you become egoistic and think I'm a great saintly person, then Maya has already defeated you. Because a saintly person is more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. This is the definition. If we have the ego that I am knowledgeable, I am learned, I am great, I am austere, better to be none of those things and humble. You'll get God's mercy better. It is a fact. If you are striving honestly to serve, Krishna is purchased by the attitude of service, humble service, nothing else. Because factually, punar mushtaka bhava, whoever we are, Krishna could bring us to the top, he can throw us to the bottom. Ultimately, it's all for our purification if we're on Krishna conscious path. There's a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam where the residents of Vrindavan, they decided to go to a holy place called Amalika to worship Lord Shiva and Parvati. But they weren't worshiping them for material benediction. They were worshiping him as the greatest devotee of the Lord and simply begging, please, help us to have a pure heart to worship the Supreme Lord. God always be with us. Help us. So they went there and they fasted all day. They took certain vows of purification and followed them. They offered puja to the murtis there. They offered many wonderful articles as an expression of their love. And then they offered their prayer. Please accept our service. Please help us to overcome the impediments and become true devotees of the Lord. To worship the greatest of all Vaishnavas, Shiva, for this purpose is authorized even by Krishna's own family members. So that night, they all decided to go to sleep on the bank of Saraswati, the river Saraswati. And as they were sleeping, All of a sudden, and in the middle of the night, they heard, "Help! Help! Help!" And everyone woke up. And they found that their leader, that the king of all the Brijavasis, Maharaj Nanda, he was being swallowed by a big, giant serpent. And slowly but surely, he was going deeper and deeper and deeper into the mouth and the body of this serpent. And he was saying, he was just crying out, "Help me, help me, help me, Krishna, 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 Krishna." And meanwhile, all the cowherd men, when they saw him, he was by that time, half his body was in the body of the serpent. So they took up burning logs from the fire and they started to beat the serpent and kick it and beat it and beat it and beat it. And no matter how much they beat it, he was being swallowed little by little and little. Until finally, everybody realized that we cannot do anything to defend ourselves from this serpent. He is our leader. What to do? There's only one thing to do. Turn to Krishna. They would consider Krishna a little boy, their friend, until there was an emergency. Then they would turn to Krishna. "Please, only you can save us." So Krishna, very gently and calmly, he placed his lotus foot on the body of this serpent. And as soon as that all-merciful foot of Sri Krishna touched the serpent's body, the serpent transformed into the most beautiful, effulgent demigod. He had a beautiful golden complexion, which was effulgent. He had golden jewelry, golden crown, dazzling dress. And he was so handsome, he was so beautiful. Everyone was struck with wonder. So Krishna looked at him. "Vedaham samatitani vatamanani chajuna bhavishani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana." Krishna knows everything. He knows past, present, future. He knows all living beings. He knows every desire, every thought of everyone, from the insignificant insect on the ground to Lord Brahma, the greatest of the devatas. But still, when Krishna descends to this world, he descends for our sake, to teach us certain lessons. So Krishna asked this beautiful, beautiful personality, "Can you tell me, dear sir?" It's very extraordinary meeting someone like you under these circumstances. "Can you tell us who you are and why in the world you were in the body of a snake eating my father?" And he said that, "I am of the Vidyadhara race. The Vidyadharas are celestial devatas who have all great mystic powers." He said, "My name is Sudarshan. And as you see, I have a very, very beautiful body. The perfect body for living just the ultimate romantic life of pleasure. And although I'm coming from such a high birth and so learned in the scripture, and so much endowed with great mystic powers as a Vidyadhara," he said, "I became proud. And one day, when I was just cruising along on a pleasurable ride in my airplane, my personal airplane, I came by some great, great sages. But some of them were very ugly physically. Some of them were even deformed. But they were descendants of the great Angira Muni. So I laughed at them and criticized them for their unfortunate state." And he said, "These great sages could see that although I had such a high birth and so many facilities to do so good, because of this pride, I was criticizing due to some material defect, because I was materially superior to them, I was criticizing them. And therefore, out of their supreme mercy, they cursed me to become a snake
the ugliest, most envious of all creatures. Before, everyone was attracted to me. Who's attracted to a snake? Huh? Whenever the last person you want to see in your life is a snake. Huh? And when you see them, you're not attracted. You either run away or you start beating it with sticks to kill it. Those are the only two things you do when you see a snake. Except some people, they just mind their own business. Haridas Thakur was living in a cave with a massive snake full of poison. People would come to visit him. He would just be immersed in chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And people would come to visit him, and just the smell from the breath of this snake was so poisonous that people would suffocate and get sick and nauseous in his cave. So they were saying, Haridas, please move to another cave so we can come and visit you. He said, why should I move to another cave? He said, because this snake, he's so poisonous and so dangerous. Not only can he bite us, this snake could probably eat us. So Haridas Thakur said, all right, then I will move to another cave. And at that time, the snake just left. Because even the snake was so charmed by the mantras and the love of Haridas Thakur that he didn't want to inconvenience him in any way. So great devotees like Haridas Thakur, they see a snake just like we see our mother and father. They're nice people. They're just going through their karma just like everybody else, and Hare Krishna, and they'll be purified just like everyone else. Huh? But how many people are like Haridas Thakur? So Vidyadhara was in the most abominable birth. But he told Krishna that this is what it took to make me humble. This is what it took to allow me to get your mercy. Because I couldn't get your mercy before. I was too much in the material conception of life. But now, my Lord, I realize that the curse of those sages was the greatest benediction in my life, because I have attained your mercy. And now I am your beloved servant. Please order me. I will do anything you want me to do. I am surrendered to you. And Lord Sri Krishna told him, go back to your planet of Vidyadhara Loka. Resume your duties, but always remain my humble servant and always chant my holy names. In this way, he utilized all of his knowledge, all of his wealth, everything he had. He didn't have to give it up. But his disposition of heart completely changed. Now he was the humble servant of the Lord. Now he was the grateful disciple of the sages. Now he had a pure heart. So Krishna knows what all of us need. And he also gives us the chance where we don't have to go through those conditions of life. Krishna never wants to cast anyone down. And he tells us the formula by which he will always protect us. He will always push us forward on the path of God consciousness. And that is to fight for him without lethargy and without egoism. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I remember when Srila Kirtanananda Swami Bhaktipad first came to New Vrindavan, It was just 140 acres, small place, way up in the forest. You had to walk through mud for 3 miles. That is, what, about 5 kilometers, 6, 7 kilometers, something like that. You had to walk all the way up. And what was up there? One old farmhouse over 100 years old. You've been to the old part of New Vrindavan, Greg, you have seen. But you went after it was a little bit restored. And still, even when it was restored, it was very old. And there was no facilities for anything. At the beginning, Srila Bhaktipada, there was no water. He had to climb down an entire mountain to get to a little stream to take his morning bath. And then he had to carry the water up. There was a well, but it wasn't working. He didn't know how to make it work. Later on, they made it work. Anyways, it was a very simple place, but it was extremely beautiful. Except in the winter months, you had to have very divine vision to see the beauty. But in the summer months, plush green, millions and millions of the most luxurious trees and grass everywhere growing. And a beautiful mountaintop. And when Srila Prabhupada came there, one very important instruction he gave to Bhaktipada. He said, when people come here, they should know that this is an ashram for spiritual advancement. And whoever comes here has to take a vow to work hard. He said, you should not let any lazy hippies live here. You should not allow any lazy anybody to live here. This is not a place for vacation. This is not a place to relax. This is a place to, you have to, the most important principle that you must understand is to chant Hare Krishna and depend on Krishna. And as far as management means make sure everybody every morning and every evening is chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, following the four regulative principles, and one other thing, that everyone must, from morning till evening, work hard. Lethargy and egoism are the two great enemies. And if we simply accept this instruction of Sri Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, and we really, really, whatever our occupation, whether we're brahmacharis in the ashram, brahmacharis should not be lazy. No brahmachari should live here unless they are working hard, hard in their chanting, hard in the Bhagavatam class, studying hard the scriptures, going out preaching, giving of themselves, doing whatever duty needs to be done. They must do it. And those who are grihasthas living outside, you are expected not to be lazy in your sadhana or in your practical responsibilities. Either one is a great impediment for your spiritual life. You must rise early. You must chant the holy name diligently. You must read the scripture with great attention. You must come and associate at the temple with great humility and devotion. And then you must go out, and whatever your occupation may be, whether you are a businessman, doctor, lawyer, farmer, housewife, you have to do it with great concentration, conscientiousness. Rupa Goswami says one of the principles for spiritual advancement is to be very aware and conscientious of everything you're doing at every moment and do it for Krishna. With detachment. What is detachment? You work hard for the fruits. You offer the fruits to the betterment of humanity and the service of God. Huh? And if you're raising your family nice, whatever you're using to raise your family nice is an example for the service of humanity and the service of God. So Krishna consciousness is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It means a dynamic life. Always remembering Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, are these correct instructions? He is a medico. He's always worried that our doctors will become lazy. Huh? And we're glad to have him. Because it is the tendency of everyone.
when things go nice, when things are going right, we become comfortable and lazy.
Therefore, struggles are really a benediction. But even when everything is going perfect,
we must continue to struggle. Without struggle, there can be no spiritual advancement. Whether we're living in a beautiful palace and everybody is just the way we want them to be, and everything is just right, or whether we're just being kicked down at every moment, doesn't matter. If we're just struggling to do more for Krishna, struggling to remain pure for Krishna, struggling to perfect our sadhana, we will make spiritual advancement. That is Krishna consciousness. That is what will attract the divine mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? If there are any questions, I can try to answer. Since Mahaprabhu is not here, someone else may have to ask a question. Yes?
Coming to spiritual life, we find that our ego is getting a big boost. We find that people all around us are giving much attention because we are different. Like, we don't drink tea, we don't eat onions, so people wonder, are you not drinking tea, onions? And we get a lot of more attention than we were getting before. And this, in fact, increases our ego, gives a boost to our ego. So how do we face this problem?
In fact, the more we advance in spiritual life, it becomes greater and greater of our enemy, false pride. And as St. Paul has said, pride cometh before the fall. Krishna only protects over a duration of time those who are striving to be his humble servants. So, how to prevent this? That it is why it is very important to learn how to associate properly with devotees. Because in the Vaishnava sampradayas, especially in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are das, and everyone else is Prabhu. We are the servant, and everyone is our master, from the new person to the older person, from the guru to someone coming in the temple today. We have to be the servant of everyone. Everyone is our Prabhu. How to serve each person according to their position may differ. That we must understand from hearing from the guru and the Vaishnava. But in every case, we must be constantly reminding ourselves that I am the servant. Even if we're teaching someone, we're doing it as a service to him. We're not taking a higher position, that I'm better than you, do like this. People are frustrated with those types of religions. Self-righteous people, I'm better than you. The devotee thinks, I'm not better than anyone. Even the most sinful person never thinks he's better than him. A devotee thinks, I'm even more sinful. How is that possible? It's natural. As you're making spiritual advancement, you become humble. Even the slightest thought of sense gratification, and you think you're sinful. But this is not something that we're always guilty. It's something that always prompts us in the joy